Oh, hi. How you doing? George and I decided to take a couple of weeks off so the missus and I could take a two-week vacation in Europe, seeing Prague and Vienna and Budapest. But we didn't want you to miss anything, especially since there's so many new people watching our show. So we wanted to give you one of the best shows we ever did with Scott Perkin. If you're into improv and you should be in voiceover, this is the show to watch. So, that's coming up. Scott Perkin, lots of laughs on VoiceOver Body Shop, coming up right now.
Who the hell are you talking to?
From the outer reaches, they came, bearing the knowledge of what it takes to properly record your voiceover audio. And together, from the center of the VO universe, they bring it to you now. George Whittem, the engineer to the VO stars, a Virginia Tech grad with the skills to build, set up, and maintain the professional VO studios of the biggest names in VO today. And you, Dan Leonard, the voiceover home studio master, a professional voice talent with the knowledge and experience to help you create a professional sounding home VO studio. And each week, they allow you into their world, bringing you talks with the biggest names in the voiceover world today, letting you ask your questions, and giving you the latest information to make the most of your voiceover business. Welcome to VoiceOver Body Shop.
VoiceOver Body Shop is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan signature products, Source Elements, remote studio connections for everyone, VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your VO website isn't a pain in the butt. VOHeroes.com, become a hero to your clients with award-winning voiceover training. J. Michael Collins Demos, when quality matters. And VoiceOver Extra, your daily resource for VO success.
And now, live to drive from their super secret clubhouse and studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are the guys.
And we're back.
Yeah, we're back here on VoiceOver Body Shop. You know, Scott Perkin did his first commercial when he was 21 years old. Since then, Scott has appeared in over 150 TV commercials for companies like AT&T, Lowe's, Chevron, Ford, McDonald's, Doritos, Coca-Cola, Hyundai, T-Mobile, Applebee's, Las Vegas, the entire city of Las Vegas.
Yes.
Okay, Clorox, Toyota, Pfizer, Coors, and many more, if that's not enough. Scott's worked steadily in commercials for over 25 years, steadily.
I'm not that steady, my friend.
Okay, we know that. Over this time, he's developed the skill set to get the call back and book the spot. With over 20 years of improvisation on stage and in TV commercials, Scott can teach you years of improvisation. Oh, but see, this happens.
Carry the one.
Yeah, thank you. How to broaden your range and bring the most to every script and take your very best shot at every commercial audition you get. He'll teach you how to book the room and book the room. That's what it says.
Yeah, make
an impression and stand out to both agency creatives and the directors so they bring you back for other commercial clients. Scott's written comedy for TV, network TV, done stand-up, and is a veteran of the comedy stage.
All that is reasonably... That's right.
Thank
lights
you very
are
much.
On.
All
are,
right.
It's reasonably
Scott
true.
Perkin.
How are you, lad?
Welcome to
you
our show.
Well. We've been I love your mustache.
Thank you very much. Now, I love my mustache, too.
They gave me a mustache last week, and I wanted to get like a big Salvador Dali one, but... The Motel 6 people thought it'd be too much.
Most people wouldn't know who you were trying to be. Anyway.
That's true.
All right. Well, we've been wanting to have you on for some time.
Dude, I've wanted to come for some time.
And,
so I'm glad we
know you had some other commitments, but
yes.
Now you're here just for our last show at
court. It was court. Just say it. It's okay.
It was court.
Yeah.
All right, that was a legitimate thing. And of course, you know,
at 5:30 from my house, a mile from the beach in Venice, it's only an hour and a half here of move! God! Yeah, I'm fine, but I made it.
You should have come for lunch, and then you would have been here right on time.
Maybe don't tell me how to run my life.
Okay.
How about that?
So, I'm betting.
Go on.
Like most, you know, comedians and actors, you were the class clown.
Oh yes, I was, and I was. You know, I was the third of three.
Oh, okay. I was born
in 62, yeah. and you know, 60s and 70s, if you wanted to get a word in, you better have a good story, it better be funny,
right?
And you better be out of the old man's backhand, like just to the right of the old man's backhand.
Oh, man. My father moved me to the other side of the table just so he could reach me.
My folks moved and didn't tell me, so I mean, it's very similar. It's similar in a way.
So how did you get into acting from that? It's just a natural progression from that?
You know, I did an impersonation of John Lennon at a morning show. This was for 98.5 KZAP, The Cat in Sacramento.
Yeah, you can use the round glasses.
That's right, man. Hey, we'll be back with this from the King Biscuit Flower Hour from Led Zeppelin. No one else can get their hands on this. So it was early in the progressive FM days, and there was a morning show. Tom Cale and Alvin Alvin. I'm going to call him that. I don't remember where I parked. How am I going to remember 1977? So I did a voice. You know, I said, I never said to the rec we were more popular than Jesus. I just said the records were selling more. And one of the guys was like, hey, that's cool. Can you come down and do that at KZAP? And I was like, dude, no, really? KZAP? That's where, like, the door. You guys play. Okay, I'll go. So I went down there and recorded that. And like a couple years later, I got an internship at the radio station. I auditioned for a television commercial that was horrible. It said the word, it was about non-repetition. That's when in radio they were like, look, we don't play all your favorite songs right in a row. We don't have a lot of repetition. I said repetition 8 times in the commercial. You hear bands like Yes, Led Zeppelin, The Beatles, without all the repetition. Because repetition isn't something you need. We play Foghat, Lynyrd Skynyrd, without all the repetition. So I did that. I auditioned for the commercial. That's
what we call a tight rotation on repetition.
Damn right it was. Yeah, 600 songs. So I did the commercial, and the program director said, yeah, you're pretty funny, and the morning guy needs a guy to cross over with. So I interned there and did horrible, you know, Bill Murray from Caddyshack impersonation. Yeah, it's Kentucky bluegrass crossed with a California sense of man. So, yeah, it's good. You know, we did that stuff. You know, you impersonate all your heroes. And so I got on the morning show there with little produced bits. And then he got fired and said, hey, I got fired, but it's okay. I made a tape from what we did. And we have an audition in Tulsa. And the guy from Tulsa called me and said, hey, are you coming to Tulsa? And I said, yeah. Is that one of the square ones in the middle? Yeah. He said, what? And I said, how far east have you been? And I said, well, I've been to the Nevada side of Heavenly Valley, which was great because there's super good powder, but I'd never been further than that. So off we went to Tulsa. I left college, left the, you know, 12 units of communication degree. And I've always promised myself that at some point I'm going to go back to Sacramento State and try and get my money back for the first 85 units. But I literally left communications school, or a degree, to go work in the field. So I started radio when I was 21, and away we went.
Well, how many years in radio?
I guess it had to be about 12 now, Dan. It ages a fella. You wake up at 4:20 and have to be interesting by 5:30. Yeah, no. So
I start hallucinating later on in the day.
I do that every day anyway, man. Right, yeah. it was a great training ground. I work with real professionals. I don't think I even know how to I come from real radio guys like yourself that actually know how to work a mic when they talk and I learned that from Kevin Boom Boom Anderson, and he was a great broadcaster, started in Detroit. And when I would get around these guys, they'd all start talking, they'd all start throwing out call letters like, where did you start?
WJY.
Yes. They'd all start throwing out these call letters, and I'd be like, yeah, I don't know what they're talking about. And then they'd come up with these horrible promotions like, we think the fall promotion should be Parade of Vets. It's where we get all the vets. And they're all like, oh, this is death. And I'm like, that sounds great. And they're like, oh, you're so unjaded. You know, I was 21. I would like, I'll go. Yeah, man. Is there a tab? Do we get a beer tab? So, you know, at 21, you're hardcore at it. After 5 years of waking up at 4:15, you're like, oh, this is harder. And then I got a gig in Dallas, which was a giant market and big morning show, and very hard. And you'd have to meet with the program director after every morning show, they'd come in and
go over the telescope of your show.
They have an air check machine which records everything that you say for 3 hours, and they go, "Oh, well, what was that?" I mean, so we don't mind the improv, Scott, as long as you plan for it. Well, tomorrow at 8:50, I'll plan to have a golf improv around 8:50. It'll be 2 minutes. So, you know, it was high pressure, lots of dough, but, you know, and it was the 80s, so,
yeah,
you know.
Cool. So how did you get back into acting and
well,
voiceover?
Well, that brings up a great story, Dan.
Okay. I'm glad
it's
I
It's a long,
asked.
Pointless story. I'm going to tell it a loop now. After getting fired, you know, we're the highest paid migrant workers, is what I call radio people, because you get fired, you're in the middle of the country.
We're going in a different direction.
Yes. And I said, does that mean it's a direction without me?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. We're going in a direction that doesn't include you.
The irony is you're the one going in a different direction because you've lost a job. Now you have to.
Because you don't have any money or a place to stay.
Freaking country.
So when I was in Tulsa, I got fired and I was literally like, cool. All right. I got some cash in the bank and a couch. So I had an ad that said, I can't believe it is. Come Saturday morning, starting at 8, meet Z104 personality, morning personality, Scott Parkin. Buy his things. So I had a garage sale and like a bunch of people showed up. I had a bunch of t-shirts like, what's up? They fired you, man. I can't believe it, man. Play more ZZ Top. So, you know, back across the country and then back out to Dallas. And then I think in Dallas, I was starting to do more voiceover at the time, and I always want to look at you guys, too, because there's an audience here. So I started doing more voiceover, and by the time they fired me that time, after I came back, I covered the Albertville Olympics in France in 92, and I came back, and it was like, people started, when you go by, they sort of, how's it going? And then one day you go up, and I'm going to use this as my door code. I went, that's weird. The door code doesn't, my code doesn't work. So I go to the front to talk to the girl, Heidi, who was fabulous in Mexico. And she said, oh yeah, Scott, I have to go talk to somebody. And there was no one at the desk. I was like, I think I've been fired. So I was fired. And at that point I'd already had to sort of say, hey, I'm not feeling well. I'm going to miss today's shift. And I'd be shooting a commercial in Houston. So I started doing more voiceover and starting to have to stretch out there. So I was at that point, I said, I'm not going to move again. I don't feel like moving. At that time, that was right when they changed the duopoly law where more than one...
I couldn't own more than one station.
A giant company. Right, this was back in the day when there was wonderful little broadcast companies that they owned like maybe a newspaper and two radio stations. And then by then... I think the year I got fired, KVIL was in Dallas, and it got flipped 98 times in one day to where it became like a paper entity. It doesn't even exist anymore.
It was a baseball trading card, essentially.
Yeah, it was, yeah. And it was very sad because now radio is owned by four companies. So they don't. So you used to be able to go get fired and go, well, I'm going to go across the street and kick your ass at the Big Rockin' Weasel. Yeah, they own that company, too.
That was the time to get out of radio.
It was.
That was, what, like 92, 91, 92?
I was asked to get out of radio. So
as was I.
I did. And at that point, I had a great agent in Dallas and, you know, one of the top guys there and did that. And the rest is quiet, small little my history.
Yeah. How'd you get back to California?
Plane. I took a plane. Good. No, I drove. I drove with my stuff.
I'm glad you didn't.
I drove with my stuff.
And...
In 98, I got, I'd done a 4-level Groundlings thing with the founder of the Groundlings in Dallas, a lot of improv, 4 to 5 doctors, one of the greatest groups in Dallas, man. And I wanted to, my buddy was writing for Roseanne, and I wanted to get back to California. So in 98, I got married and moved back here and had a baby in 2000 and got divorced and continued to do voiceover. So
all at the same time.
Pretty much. It was damn close. It was married for just about about 4 years, 4.5 years, just under 5. So you don't have to pay alimony forever.
Okay. Yeah. So you.
It's all right.
Yeah,
it's like, look, we're trying to cheer people up.
Yes.
No, it's gone really well.
It's
gone really well. So, yeah, so I have a fabulous daughter, Miranda Park, and she's a great voice. She just did 2 McDonald's spots last week, and she's a commissioned artist. And
yeah, I was going to say, quite the artist,
hilarious.
Too.
Yeah, she's hilarious and fabulous, and we live a mile from the beach, and we see every Star Wars movie that comes out. So
it's important. Now, you've been doing TV commercials. You've done
I have
a lot of on-camera stuff, but
mm-hmm.
also voiceover. And now, to get booked on those types of spots, you got to be doing something. So what is it? I'm not going to say what's your secret, But what is the basics to really always booking the spot?
When you talked about booking the room,
yeah.
and that's a thing where each time you audition, it's a chance to get more work. It may not be for that job, but each of those agencies has, like the Richards Group, my buddy Christopher Smith. What's up, Chris? he's working on 38 different commercials currently, 38 different clients. And so if they like you, they like you. So each time you go in there, you put your very best foot forward, and maybe it's not right in your wheelhouse. Like right down the center for me is, wow, I never thought of that. That's a great light beer. And it tastes great. So, you know, it's some version of that. That's right down the middle. So I always tell folks that they need to be able to hit that the far side of that, which is, right now at Rent-A-Center, you can get 5 of those for just $8. And if I drive just a little slower, maybe I can hang on to my daughter just a little longer. Right? You got to, and you have to, if in order to make a living at it, you have to hit everything in between. You got to find out where that middle is, and then push that level as far as you can go on either side.
Right.
And when you go into that audition, if it's not right in your wheelhouse, stretch out. If you're not likely to book it, if it's like, boy, this is, like for me, that would be like, in a time when people, you know, I'm not going to get that. So I'm going to do something different, and I'm going to swing for the fence. Because it's if it's here, I'm going conservative. I'm going to try and take the best. All you can do is take your highest percentage guess. You read that spec, you find out where the argument was between creative and the client, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about this today. What spot was it? Oh, let's say Olive Garden.
We'll say Olive Garden.
It wasn't, but it was like, it was a new director, and he was like, well, I'm kind of new on this. What do you think? And I said, well, it says very conversational, but it's and not sappy, but it's written really sappy and warm.
And it's written Link commercial style.
Right. It's written, you know.
Yeah.
You know, when the snow comes down this time of year, you know, and they're saying not sappy. So,
yeah, right.
So there you can see that fight, you know, you can see that fight between the agency who wants to do something that's memorable and interesting and that'll stick with people and the client who's like, look, we got to get to the price and there's snow and we're a warm, fuzzy client. So you find out where that battle is and you take your best guess for your first take. And on your second take, you stretch out a little more. That's free. That was free.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Right?
Just in case you were wondering.
That is one of those things where if you do that, you take a higher percentage shot at it, and that agency that listens to that goes, okay, I like that. I like Esther. She's good. She's not perfect for this, but we're working on this other thing that's for Tiger Shoes that I think she'd be great for. And then they sort of remember you. And so you know, you want to take that highest percentage guess, so you book the room.
Right.
And on-camera commercials, when you're going in there, if you're low maintenance and you bring something to it, your job, like Dee Bradley Baker taught me this one, your job is to help them solve the problem. And you have to bring something. You know, you got 200 people in the hallway who are all bald. Thanks. this is a toupee. It's not a good one. But they all look like you. And so if everything's equal, what do you bring to the party that's a little different? What do you bring that's like, oh, okay. And again, your agency, your client is there. They just care about now. The director's there. He's going to be working on something else next week. The agency has 20 other clients, right? So if you book that room, then your percentage goes up. Because you book that room, and then you have Dave Layden's a director that likes me, brings me in on everything. I'm not right for everything, even if he brings me in on it. But I have more shots. If you get more shots, you book more gigs. The more shots you can get, the higher your booking percentage. So if you solve their problem, they want, when a casting director is listening to your tape or looking at your tape, they want you to book it. They got 5 roles. They're like, oh my God, book the girl, book the young dad, please. We have, you know, we have to get to dinner. We have 5 that we're listening to 200. You have to stand out. So you take that shot and you make an impression on the director and the agency and hope that that client likes you.
Right. Now, last week we had Everett Oliver on with us, and he was talking about the audition. How do you do that when you're by yourself?
Yeah, I have the toughest time. I love my agents, DPN. I signed with ICM in 1998, and they have great booth directors. They have four booth directors, and they're all great. I am not Marilyn Wisner's self-direct app is very helpful for me for cutting my time down from 5 hours to 20 minutes. It really is about looking at that spec. What do they really mean?
And do they really mean it?
Do they really mean it? Yeah. That's the real question. They're saying they want super conversational, but they've mentioned the price 8 times. You know, just like people conversationally talking about how much a pizza costs. It's yeah. $5.88 for just 5 pieces. No, right now you get to that till Thursday. Hurry in today. Offer ends Thursday. You know, we know that what they really want. Yeah. Yeah, what they really want. So what they really want when they say conversational is not like you and I have a conversation. They want, and they don't want like real. When they say real, they don't really want real. They don't want people like, I like pizza with different meats on it because I like meat. I like sausage, and I like, what's the round one that's like a sausage?
Pepperoni.
Pepperoni. I like pepperoni. Those are all great meats. That's real. That's real.
Yeah, but not great for commercials. They don't,
but not so great. Yeah. Although I think,
do you think
Pizza Hut, I think we just did one that I think might work in Trump's America. but what they really want is something that doesn't sound... Right now, you can get sausage, pepperoni, and 3 different types of cheeses. Just keep deep frying it till it's as big as a phone. They don't want something like that either.
Right.
So they want something that sounds conversational, but you know, you have to find that balance between super polished and meat. You know, you have to, right?
Makes total sense.
There, that's going on the bumper stickers. So you take that and you go. I like my pizza with a couple different types of meat. I love sausage. I love linguica. I love Canadian bacon. I don't know why, but Canadian bacon just tastes great. I don't know if it's from Canada or it's the way it's shaped, but I like Canadian bacon. To me, that's a pizza. So that's how you split the difference between the two of those, hopefully. Was that right? Was that right? Thanks, you guys. You guys, clap. You've done nothing this whole time.
Very supportive clap audience talk. Here tonight.
All right.
We're grateful to have you, by the way.
We're very grateful. You got through security okay?
Yeah.
You didn't.
All
you
right.
did not.
Okay.
You searched 5 times.
Right.
And there goes the ratings.
All right. Whoosh.
Esther's naked. I was in Esther's Naked off Broadway for 2 years. I was Stephen, the lawyer.
Anyway.
Are we going to a break?
We are
going
to go to a break.
Oh, this will be great, you guys. Wait to the break.
Yeah, if you've got a question for Scott Parkin or for George and I or for anybody that's here, by the way, just throw it in the chat room. And, you know, I think George is watching the chat room tonight because Anthony had some.
George left an hour ago.
And we'll get that on. But we also, since we have a fine audience tonight of great voice actors, we're going to have a little fun with some improv.
You think?
We are. So stay tuned.
For the train wreck.
Oh, yeah. On VoiceOver Body Shop. We'll be right back.
This is Anthony Mendez, and you're watching VoiceOver Body Shop.
Well, hello there. I bet you weren't expecting to hear some big-voiced announcer guy on your new orientation training for Snapchat, were you?
This is Virgin Radio.
Well, okay, we're not that innocent.
There's jeans for wearing and there's jeans for working. Dickies, because I ain't here to look pretty.
She's a champion of progressive values, a leader for California, and a voice for America.
It's smart. It's a phone. It's a smartphone. But it's so much more. The files are ready. Don't forget to pick up the eggs. What time is hockey practice? Check out this song.
It's the end of the road for Rick.
It's just you and me, Rick.
When hope is lost.
The i8 from BMW. Who said saving the planet couldn't be stylish?
Hey, it's J. Michael Collins. Bet you think I'm going to try and sell you a demo now, huh? I think they speak for themselves. But I will give you my email. It's jmichael@jmcvoiceover.com. Now, if Dan will stop waxing his mustache for a minute, we'll get back to the show.
Hey there. VoiceOver Essentials has put together 2 bundle deals featuring some of their most popular products at special pricing. No matter your budget, you can't go wrong, whichever one you choose. And now, get interest-free credit for 6 months when you check out with PayPal. First, there's the Plus Bundle. Save $100 and free shipping. You get a Portabooth Plus, the VO1A microphone, the Micport Pro 2 mobile preamp and interface with limiter, the voice-optimized headphones, adjustable desktop microphone stand, and the Vox Pop filter. But separately, you'd pay $986.89, but the bundle price is $100 less, $886.89. Now, the Pro Bundle, you'll save $150 with free shipping. You get the Portabooth Pro, the VO1A microphone, the Mixer Face portable mixer and mobile recording interface, the Harlan Hogan voice-optimized headphones, the adjustable desktop microphone stand, the Vox Pop filter, the voiceover recording sign, all that. But separately, you'd pay $1,276.84, but the bundle price is $150 off at $1,126.84. Go over to voiceoveressentials.com and pick up these great bundles and get yourself a Portabooth Plus or Pro with all these other great additions. Thanks, Harlan.
As a voice talent, you have to have a website. But what a hassle getting someone to do it for you. And when they finally do, they break or don't look right on mobile devices. They're not built for marketing and SEO. They're expensive. You have limited or no control. And it takes forever to get one built and go live. So what's the best way to get you online in no time? Go to voiceactorwebsites.com. Like our name implies, voiceactorwebsites.com just does websites for voice actors. We believe in creating fast, mobile-friendly, responsive, highly functional designs that are easy to read and easy to use. You have full control. No need to hire someone every time you want to make a change. And our upfront pricing means you know exactly what your costs are ahead of time. You can get your voiceover website going for as little as $700. So if you want your voice actor website without the hassle of complexity and dealing with too many options, go to voiceactorwebsites.com, where your VO website shouldn't be a pain in the you-know-what.
This is Ariana Ratner, and you're listening to VoiceOver Body Shop, VOBS.TV.
All right. And fade music. All right.
Well done, Scott.
That was Mungo Jerry from 19. All right. Okay.
I remember that because I remember seeing it on the listing for the show. Jerry Mungo. No, it's Mungo Jerry. Darn.
My favorite screwed up introduction was from the overnight guy. When in Tulsa, Oklahoma, when we got in.
An overnight guy in Tulsa, Oklahoma. That says a lot right there, doesn't it?
Yeah, it says drink. He said, and that was, he had a couple of them. That was Sweet Bloody Jew Eyes. And the other one, that was Steely Dan from Aja. No, it's Asia.
Yeah, or whatever.
But Bloody Jew Eyes. Oh, we got a call.
All right. And we know what we have to do when the call comes in here on Voice Over Body.
What do we do?
I don't know. Yes.
We pick it up.
That's right.
We always do.
We always do.
We
People
always
have learned,
do.
Don't call while we're doing the show.
You're going to put in the air.
Coaching.
Call in now.
Yeah. Now, you're coaching.
I am.
It seems like since I've arrived in Hollywood that everybody's coaching.
There is. I talked to Marilyn Wisner a long, long time ago.
Who is a coach, by the way.
Who's a wonderful coach, and she runs a fabulous school. But she said, you know, we don't really have anybody that does that conversational real read, which...
About
70-75% of reads today are some version of that. And so I said, yeah, let's do it. And so we did it, and I had a great time. I really enjoyed teaching in general. I teach kids to act. I teach whether people want it or not. I teach people to surf. It's obnoxious most of the times, but when they ask, it's okay. But a couple of people went, wow, do you coach privately? And she said, yes. And I said, yes, I do.
Of course.
So that was about a year and a half ago. And I really enjoy it. But there is an awful lot of coaches. And there's an awful lot of coaches that are awfully expensive. And I just want to say to the next people that call in, I will give you a good deal. I keep my rates low for the journeyman voiceover person. And when I got hooked in with the VO Collective, there's all these new and wonderful people that have such a juice for the industry and the artistry of it that I keep it very reasonable, under 150, like anywhere from 120 to 130 for about 70 minutes. And I think that's really about what it should be. unless it's Anthony Hopkins, I'm not paying $200 an hour. Or, no, I just don't see, and this likely will get me in trouble, but
that's okay.
$200 an hour is just, I just don't know what someone can teach you in an hour for $200 other than some sort of...
How to make more money.
Yes, how to make more money. Hi, welcome to the seminar. How many, who wants to make money? Do you want to make money? Do you want to make money? We're going to make a lot of money today. We're going to go into breakout groups, and each of those will be $1,000. No, there are some really good coaches out there. Mary Lynn is great. You are great. Dave Walsh is great. There's some wonderful coaches with great information. I like when I work with a coach. I've worked with Dave. I've actually take David Dave's. Jeff Howell has coached me in promo. I like practical application. I like somebody. These are a few things like you were talking about, what to look for in a microphone or in branding. For me, if you're looking for a coach, find somebody who is working, either producing, casting, or voicing, currently, because the stuff is changing so rapidly. That if you're not with somebody who knows what the trend is, they may be taking you down a box canyon that has already happened. And hey, you have this great skill set that was great 8 months ago. Look for somebody who has clients that you can actually say, oh.
There's no water in there.
I thought it was a clock. I was like, I'm sorry. That's all the time we ever. Look for somebody who is working either from a production standpoint, producing commercials, directing commercials, or voicing commercials. Not just a coach. I'm not saying that somebody who doesn't do those things can't coach. They can. But your percentage goes up with somebody who's looking at scripts. I look at 25 to 30 scripts a week. Either auditioning or stuff is sent to me to coach somebody. So you want somebody who knows what's happening as far as where the trends are and what's the type of reads that they're looking for. You want somebody that's working. I'm working. Thank the Lord above, you know, because it's crazy. It can go away at any moment. No one's guaranteed anything. You want someone that's working. You want someone who knows what's happening currently, and you want somebody who has some experience. If they say, oh, I'm a great coach, I'm amazing, it's going to be huge, you know, it's the same sort of principle. Okay, who do you work with? Have they booked anything? Where can I find out what they sound like? That's the kind of thing. Due diligence is important. Don't just go, oh my God, I want to get into voiceover. I'm going to get a coach. Because it's not, you know what you have to have? You know what you got to have to be a coach these days? You got to be able to say, I'm a coach. And that's about it. It's not a regulated thing. It's not like there's a...
We're working on it, though.
We're working on it. And hopefully the industry corrects itself. Because people that are charging huge amounts of money and don't have any clients that are actually booking things and that don't either cast, produce, voice, you know, it's very simple to see the people that are actually making waves and getting people work and helping them. Nobody, if someone says they can get you work, they're lying. Nobody can get you work. All I can do is hopefully raise your percentage. Because if I knew how to get somebody work, you know the first person I would do that for? Me. I would go, hey, I figured out a way. It's a holy grail. And here's how you, the holy grail. Here's how you go do it. Anybody that says they can get you work is not telling the entire truth. If they can help you increase your odds of getting work, that's a good coach. You can tell. Don't sign up for long-term agreements with a coach before you've worked with them once. That goes for anything.
One at a time. See how it goes.
Consider it like figure skating. Who is your figure skating coach? Do they have somebody in the Olympics or do they have somebody in Bakersfield doing really well? You know, like you do. You were a figure skater for a long time.
I was a hockey player, but
same thing.
I know.
That's not even close to the same thing.
We got some questions from our vast audience scattered throughout the four corners.
Yes, we do.
Shoot. I'm all any questions locally?
Yep.
Dog's happy?
We'll get there.
George.
Yes,
all right, George.
First one comes in. Hey, man, good to see you over there.
Good to see you, buddy.
First one comes from Paul Stefano. Paul's question for Scott is, how did you get into on camera? And was it intentional, or did you just meet someone during a voice gig that liked you?
I got into on camera, like I said, from 98 KZAP. I auditioned for a commercial, and I got the commercial. I was a I was a model. I was a stand, like, in a store. Like, I was, you know, I was very cute in my 20s.
In your good-looking days.
I was super cute. This area here, really super hot. I did it that way. And I always, you know, I was always a class clown. I, you know, memorized Frost Nixon with Eric Idle and Dan Aykroyd and did that at some comedy contests and got some great notices in Sacramento in 1978. So it's pretty. No, I, you know, I've always been outgoing and on camera was where I wanted to be. I wanted to be on Saturday Night Live. That was a dream of mine. Still gonna not happen. But you know, commercials was the path of least resistance. You could be very funny. You could do an awful lot, and you could, you know, put a roof over your head and put food on the table. So that, I mean, I got in through doing a voiceover, actually. I mean, or through working in radio and getting better at that and being willing to take a risk. Mm-hmm. So, and on camera is a weird beast. You can be a bunch of different shapes, sizes, and looks, especially today. It's not all just, they'd always like, here, stand by this fire or hold this dolly. Or, you know, it's always like a blue collar guy. Because I wasn't like the, you know, at the time it was Duran Duran and Nagel. So it was very, you know, really cool looking, angular people. And I just was never that. Mm-hmm. So I would say, find your thing, find your brand, what you look like, where you fit. I say this about voiceover. People say, I want to get into voiceover. Cool. Listen to the radio.
Are you sure you want to get into voiceover?
Wake up. You slap them. And then go, okay, if you want to, look at television. What are the voiceovers? Where do you fit? Could you do that? Do you feel like, well, I could come close
you
to
Josh
that.
You Josh Brolin?
Right, right. Do you feel like you could talk like that? Can you talk like this? Or are you more like, what was it? Hal Reiney. We used to do Hal. My buddy used to write for Hal Reiney, and it was like, it's John Deere. John Deere mowers. They're mowers. For people who want to mow. I mean, it was like they were selling local avails in the passes. But, I mean, it's find out where you fit. And that goes with on camera, too. I could do that. I'm in that area. Is there enough in that area? Are you a young mom? Young moms work a lot. This is always my pet peeve with commercials. Women go, God, we're portrayed so poorly. Think about how guys like he and I are, honey, I ate too much. I don't know how to measure whether I'm eating too much, and now I'm sick. And I think I peed myself, and, oh, honey, help. Sorry.
So realistic.
That's pretty bad. I mean, guys are not poor. I like beer, because beer is cool. There's a girl. I mean, we're not portrayed, and that's not far from the truth. Let's be honest.
It really is.
But I mean, find where you fit. That goes for voiceover too. Any others?
Jackson on. Daniel, he says, can you share a
Jack
story?
Daniels.
Yeah, he likes to go by Jackson. Can you share as a story of when you went way out there, no one near the given specs on the script, but just the feeling it was just right, and you landed something that way.
Something really cool.
I did Michael Cerny. Said, hey, we're doing these commercials for Vegas, and it's all improv, and we want you to come on the location scout. And I was like, okay, no, they don't take actors on location scouts. So they said, yeah, wear your hat and your pork pie and your shirts. And so we just winged it, and I talked to I went up on the Treasure Island thing, and I went, are you all pirates? Are you all from other parts of the country? And so they taped the whole thing, and I stretched out every time they cracked a mic. And when you improv, as you know, it's not all going to be great.
Right.
Some of it's going to be like, what the hell?
And we're going to find out.
What was he thinking?
Crickets.
So, yeah, I stretched out. I'm going to be honest with you. I stretch out probably a lot more than I should. If my daughter knew how often I took a giant risk to try and land something, she'd be like, man, how's that going to pay for college? But I do, I'll tell you one time. There was an Applebee's spot where the specs were so... It was like, he's wise, but not very bright. He's a sage, but pretty rowdy. It was like, and the specs were about a paragraph. I read the paragraph of specs as my audition.
Because the line was actually just a tag.
The line was four words, and the specs were this long. He's wise, but not too Western.
He enjoys fishing, but not with people. You know,
it was just insane. But I didn't get that one. So, but it makes for a great story, and I still use that copy because direction. It speaks to direction you get is going to be sometimes diametrically opposed. It's literally we want it conversational, but about the price, $7.99. Mm-hmm. There's no way to say price very conversational because we don't talk like that. Hey, George, 8:44.
Yeah.
By Thursday. Yeah. Hurry soon. Yeah, it just doesn't, you know. So I would say I stretch out a lot. I stretch out a lot. Probably a lot more than I should.
It's your thing, man.
Yeah. Did I answer that?
I think one of the things that keeps your memory burned into their
You'd hope. I mean, I do change. I always say don't improvise a hell of a lot on your first take. The other thing is we used to tag things a lot. It was like, what's a tag? They don't listen to the tag a lot. They don't listen to the first 20 seconds. I'm sorry. This is sad. And
explain the uninitiated.
What a tag is at the end of the spot where you come in and it goes, get those now till Thursday. And then you go, well, but wait, I'm not terribly bright or whatever your tag is going to be. Mm-hmm. You say it at the end of the spot. Kenny Campbell told me, you know, they're not listening to the whole spot. So if you're going to say something funny, do it up front.
Do it up front.
So I say do it up front. Do it on your second take.
Mm-hmm. Cool, man.
So all right. You don't want to piss them off too much. So writers, I mean, I've written a lot of radio and I've produced a lot of radio. And if you're, they usually throw the radio to the new guy. And he's been working on it for 3 months. And he's gotten the crap beat out of him. Like, look, no, it just doesn't scream ham, you know, or whatever it is. And so by the time he gets in there, he really wants to hear what he wrote. Because he fought for that. Somebody fought for those. And if there's a little joke, if there's a tiny little, well, it says spiral cut. And that's the only joke they have. That's a and you go, well, it's not terribly funny, but it's kind of a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody fought really hard to get that joke through the web of lawyers and clients and people that are like, well, how does that say ham?
Right.
You know, and so somebody fought for that. So you have to land that joke. You have to practice it and listen to it. Is that I know it's not a big joke, and I'm not going to try and make it, you know, spiral cut. I'm not going to try and make it bigger than it is, but you have to land the jokes that get through the net because the writer will like you. And if the writer likes you, that helps because he's going to work on other stuff. But if you totally usurp the writer and blow him off, then he's not going to fight for you because he's been in his little cubicle, like, you know, drinking coffee and writing five spots for, hey, that's my leg pizza. And he really wants to hear what he wrote. Mm-hmm. So you got to give him a good portion of what he wrote. I'm a better writer.
Yeah. Speaking of ham, Wackadoo Gonzalez wants to know, what's your favorite breakfast food at a Santa Monica recording studio?
Dude, that has to be anything at Lime.
Yeah.
Lime Studio, they have like...
They pull out the stops, huh?
They have chefs. They hire chefs. And they'll go, and you'll sit there, and as long as you can look like... It's like casinos. As long as you're like... Yeah, I'll take a card. As long as you look like you're gambling, they have to keep bringing you drinks. As long as you look like you're at a gig, Lime will keep going. You want to have a refresh on your cocoa? So I would say this. I would say the raspberry walnut scones at Lime will change your life. They'll change your life.
I'm sold.
They'll do anything. They literally go, well, we're doing these eight things. Yeah. I did an episode. This is a million years ago. I was in Dallas, and Walker Texas Ranger was there, and it was karate and cowboy, so it was really popular in Asia. So in that show, it was like, after a while, I'd be like, have you been on this? No. All right, you're the killer. And you had to be, if you, this is going to piss off Chuck Norris.
Put on this red uniform.
Yeah, but if you, that's Star Trek. I don't know why they're like, Johnson, go look at that. Go check that sound. Just say I'm going to freaking die. Just shoot me. Tell me I'm going to die. But if you were over 5'6", you were a bad guy. On Walker, Texas Ranger, because Chuck Norris didn't want people going, way to go, Walker, you kicked that guy's ass. So no good guy's taller than 5'4". So I was a bad guy. And it blew me away because you get there and it's catered to the gills. And there are actors that have been flown out from L.A. And at that time, I was like, wow, he's flown out from L.A. He's like, know, first class, like, so, yeah, kick ass, right? And so I'm in the front of the line, and I'm like, oh, man, great. They got shrimp. And he goes, what? He was behind me, and he goes, well, they got shrimp? I'm like, dude, you have a hotel. You have 3 days per diem. What do you care if they... If food is really important out here. If you have good food, you know, they will come to your studio, mm-hmm. you know. Lime is one of those studios. Margarita Mix has great food. 11 has incredible food. All of them. I mean, it's, look, I don't work like at those places all the time. So you can't just go by and go, hey, how's it going? Oh, breakfast. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, I'd love a shirt. So, but when you get there, it's amazing. And it's a wonderful thing, knock on wood. Let's hope it happens for as many of you as possible.
All right. Last question we've got from...
Okay. We've got two more, actually.
Two more.
No one slipped in out of the water.
Thank you, guys.
One's from our faithful producer, Catherine S. Curtin. She has a question about social media. Do you prefer Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn? What's the big one? Do we really need to have more followers? I mean, what's going on?
For me, MySpace is where it's at. That's the one. I have my great friend, and I'm going to mention him because I just adored him. He was one of my favorite people, the great Steve Susskind.
Oh, yeah.
And he used to say he had gotten a website to sell his pocket scarves. He used to have these pocket scarves, and I got a website. And I say, Steve, you know, how's your website going? He goes, well, if you have a website and you don't advertise, it's like having a warehouse in the desert. So for me, I like Facebook. I'm on there way too damn much, as anyone knows.
As everybody.
So I just started a site called America's Commercial Actor Scott Parkin. And I like Facebook a lot because I can do video of a fair amount of length. I can boost a post if I like something. I just did one where I was shooting Motel 6 and I did a character video and it got 8,000 views. For me, for my little world, that's a lot. Mm-hmm. I can put $20 and boost it over 5 days and send it to more people that I don't know. And if it starts getting shared... then that's a wonderful thing for me. It's the illusion that I'm successful.
Well, I mean, you're successful among 1.7 billion active users.
That's right. Yeah. Thank
Facebook's
you.
Facebook's pretty
good
active.
Perspective there, George.
But I like Facebook. My daughter likes Instagram a lot. The young kids really love the Instagram. So right. I'm more active in that. Now you can go live on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
To say you don't need social media or do we need more followers, sadly, we need as many as you can get. Because once you start, I've started to book jobs from this America's Commercial Actor. People are like, hey, we'd like that guy and
the character you've created.
To talk sort about our car. And I'm like, America's Commercial Actor Scott Parkin doesn't sell out. Oh, mm-hmm. No, wait, that's the whole idea. Yes, I'd love to work for your car company.
Right.
So I think Facebook is a way to instantly reach a hell of a lot of people and you can choose whether you support it financially or... You know, I mean, you just have to go at it. I do think Bob West, a good buddy of mine, has showed me how, I still haven't done it, but he showed me how to do something where you can post one thing and it goes off across all formats. And you can also, on Facebook, you can schedule your posts. So before you go to bed, you know, you have an hour and you go, okay, here's my next 8 posts are going to drop sometime tomorrow. I'm just learning how to do that stuff. But I freaking love Facebook. There's people that I would not talk to or not know about or just, I'm an overshare guy. I mean, if you see my Facebook post, it's way, I like writing stories. I like talking about my kid. I like talking about if I'm on the set, having a good time. There's so many people that you want to go, this guy's a grip. Nobody knows who he is, but he's freaking great. And he's, you know, I like giving attention to people that nobody sees, you know? Studio guys, producers, and guys that run the board that, you know, probably don't want you to take their picture, but you do it. No, I mean, I feel
behind the scenes stuff is good.
I love it. Those guys are the backbone of it. You know, without them, you sound like crap and you look like crap. So I love, so I would start with Facebook. I don't think Twitter, I really got into hashtagging on at midnight. I cut a couple of jokes on the air and that was fun to write a joke, like, you know, take out a letter, make a movie. We did Planet of Them Apes, or add a letter, make a movie. Yeah, so we got, you know, and that was fun for a while, but it really, it was like, and then you know, you burn spiked. Out on it. So I don't know. I don't know what Twitter's going to do right now.
Yeah.
But I need to do more Snapchat, but I love Facebook and I love Instagram.
But LinkedIn, is that something that you've dabbled with at all?
That's like the drunk uncle of social media. Yeah. I'm there, but, you know,
A classy drunk uncle.
A classy drunk uncle. Right. Like, somebody, like, recommended or said, endorsed me for storytelling. And I just, once upon a time, no one frickin' cares. Because, you know, I think for our business, I don't think many of us are going to be hired for real jobs. I think LinkedIn works great because they look at your resume. Oh, you're great one of my skills is saltwater fishing. Right. One of my skills is being able to talk in circles, or I can punch self in own mouth. I think for real basic stuff, tangible stuff, LinkedIn is great. I'm on there. I do maintain a presence there, but I'm not on there nearly as much as I am on Facebook. Cool. Or Assbook. I don't know if you have Assbook. It's a completely different thing.
Totally different content.
I know you've probably shared a bunch of these, but the last thing to wrap it out for tonight is from D-Vox. Sure. And he says, do you have one unusual performance golden nugget, some technique that you use? You've shared a couple tonight, but...
Oh, God. I'm thinking of every weird nugget. I played the number 3 in a Texas lottery spot, but ask me the question again. And I actually did the Spanish version. And they were like,
not just any performance technique golden nugget, but an unusual performance technique golden nugget. That's actually what
okay. I'm going to give something away, and it's not something I don't think you know, because you know Bob Newhart,
right?
And I grew up on him. I grew up on the albums because my folks. I got at 7. I was weird. I got comedy albums instead of toys, but. If you want to make something sound real, that we don't speak clearly. We don't know what we're going to say. So a lot of times, now you don't want to stutter like a idiot.
Like Bob Newhart.
Like, but no, you can't. No, you can't. You know, remember that war movie? They hired him just to talk on the, well, the, all the soldiers. Yeah. No, you can't have them. There's a lot of guns. But if it's free, this is free. And I'm giving away my stuff here.
Hit the money button.
Yeah. It's just take an extra little half, like, wow, that's right now I can do that? That's it. That takes it from, wow, right now I can do that to, wow, that's available Thursday? Cool. Just that little hesitation. That little hesitation can make it sound much more real, because when we're talking between you guys, when the camera goes off, we don't know what the hell we're going to say.
Yeah.
Right? You don't know. You don't plan out. Well, he does. He plans out paragraphs in advance of what he's going to say. His whole life is rehearsed. It's on a wall behind here. It's for God's sakes, it's so scary. But we don't know what we're going to say. So that little tiny, like I did a spot, I auditioned for a spot today, and I actually left this in because I thought it sounded good, and it was like, how do I tell my daughter that? How do I tell her that, you know, I'm not going to do the copy, but it was really solid, really emotional, but how do I do that? And that can make it sound much more warm, much more real, because none of us really know what the hell we're going to say. Mm-hmm. And if they say real and conversational, just add a little bit of that. If you go too much, it sounds like that it sounds very forced, and it sounds mm-hmm. like it's not yeah. conversational yeah. and planned.
Mm-hmm.
But a little tiny bit of that hesitation or this weekend, that's great. I love water slides. Is the big one open? You know, or whatever your version of that is. That probably sounds really disjointed. But anyway, who asked that question?
That was
a guy named D-Vox.
D-Vox, there you go, buddy. Alrighty. That's $450 worth of information right there.
Thank
all
you,
right.
Bro.
We're going to take a real quick break here. You ready for that, Andrew?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Andrew's ready for anything, dude.
He is.
He's the backbone. Here. Without him, you guys would be flailing. Let's be honest. Yes.
Imagine what it was like for the prior episodes before him.
I think we all have those archived, don't we?
We do. They're all on YouTube.
Fortunately.
Anyway, we're going to do a little extra segment tonight as a little bit of improv, because we have some great people here.
Right.
So come up with a good, quick little improv game.
All right.
We'll do that next in VoiceOver Body Shop.
As
As a voice talent, you have to have a website. But what a hassle getting someone to do it for you. And when they finally do, they break or don't look right on mobile devices. They're not built for marketing and SEO. They're expensive. You have limited or no control. And it takes forever to get one built and go live. So what's the best way to get you online in no time? Go to voiceactorwebsites.com. Like our name implies, voiceactorwebsites.com just does websites for voice actors. We believe in creating fast, mobile-friendly, responsive, highly functional designs that are easy to read and easy to use. You have full control. No need to hire someone every time you want to make a change. And our upfront pricing means you know exactly what your costs are ahead of time. You can get your voiceover website going for as little as $700. So if you want your voice actor website without the hassle of complexity and dealing with too many options, go to voiceactorwebsites.com, where your VO website shouldn't be a pain in the you-know-what.
This is the point of the show where we get to thank our wonderful sponsors, Source Elements, the creators of Source Connect, and other amazing tools for connecting your studio to other studios around the world. Now, they've got two main flavors, Source Connect Now, which is fun and free, and you can send a link to any of your clients who are used to using old-school phone patches and would actually like to hear you in full quality. That was fun. Or you can actually use Source Connect Standard or Pro. Standard is really the one that's designed for voice actors. It is absolutely drop-dead reliable and stays in sync throughout an entire session. If there's ever a dropout, it can automatically replace the dropouts of audio and fill them back in. It can even do a thing where it replaces the entire audio file with an uncompressed AIF file or a WAV file from your computer, which it automatically sends to the other end. It's very powerful stuff. If you want to give it a try, go over to Source Elements, that's source-elements.com, and you can sign up for a 15-day free trial to give it a test run. So give it a look and be ready to go when that client asks, are you on Source Connect?
Your dynamic voiceover career requires extra resources to keep moving ahead. Now there's one place where you can explore everything the voiceover industry has to offer. That place is voiceoverextra.com. Whether you're just exploring a voiceover career or a seasoned veteran ready to reach that next professional level, stay in touch with market trends, coaching, products and services while avoiding scams and other pitfalls. VoiceOver Extra has hundreds of articles, free resources and training that will save you time and help you succeed. Learn from the most respected talents, coaches, and industry insiders when you join the online sessions bringing you the most current information on topics like audiobooks, auditioning, casting, home studio setup and equipment, marketing, performance techniques, and much more. It's time to hit your one-stop daily resource for voiceover success. Sign up for a free subscription to newsletters and reports and get 14 bonus reports on how to ace the voiceover audition. It's all here at voiceoverextra.com. That's voiceoverxtra.com.
All right, time for some improv here. Oh, now, improv is very, very important to learn.
It frightens the hell out of you.
It beats the crap out of
you.
I'm always trying to think, well, can I say it's funny? But the trick is to listen. Right.
Yeah, the most important thing, voiceover-wise or on stage, is listening, because if I say, Dr. Peterson, you're here for your appointment, and you don't hear Dr. Peterson, you don't know who the hell you are.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So you have to hear that. And each time if somebody drops a word or screws something up, that then becomes the bit. And
right.
If you watch, like, my favorite group, the Transformers, they will literally hone in on whatever the mistake was and beat that person into submission verbally. So what we're going to try here, and it's likely to be a train wreck. Not like Amy Schumer's train wreck, which made millions. This will make $8. So we're going to start a scene, and then when George hits the bell, we'll have to change I'll change my answer.
Okay.
All right? Or whatever George says. All right? So give us a place where two people might meet, like a hotel. Okay, a hotel. A hotel. All right, you'll be the guy behind the desk.
Okay.
All right. So I'm coming into the hotel. The dogs are going to love this.
Can I help you, sir?
Yes, I'd like to check in.
Okay, do you have a reservation?
I do. It's under parking. A party of two should be a suite. And I'm here for the convention.
Which convention is that?
He'll hit the bell anytime. I'm here for the convention about fishing.
Fishing, the fishing convention. Ah, yes, we have...
Keep hitting the bell, George. Farming convention.
Farming convention.
And okay. Again, George. The hookers. I'm here for the hookers.
Okay. Yes, we have...
The mechanics convention.
The mechanics convention. Okay, so we're...
Liquid feed symposium. Potato farmers. Pot growers. I'm here for the pot growers convention.
Okay, good. All right.
So am I, apparently.
All right. Yes, you have the green suite on the 30th floor.
Excellent. Is there a mini bar?
There are two mini bars.
Oh, excellent.
Yes.
So are they both small, or are they... Are they both huge?
They are.
Are they filled with humans or
no? It's the high expensive mini bar.
Good. New accent.
Are they filled with humans? Oh, they're high accent. Oh, that's great. That makes it nice.
The really good ones. Yes, sir. Yes.
Anything. And anytime you hit a bell, I'll do a new accent. Is there booze in the bar? No, you prick! I ask ya. I have not. The first one was a different one. It's more the work.
Okay.
I told you, I want a bar filled with beets and old women.
We
Why
have
is
that,
this a
actually.
Problem?
Was that a problem.
Bell? Was that a bell? Hi, y'all got catfish in that bar? Come on now! Trump!
All right, let me check and see if we have that.
Just something nice. I want a TV and some nice sheets with a nice thread count. Something sassy.
Okay, I'll call housekeeping, make sure that happens, and...
Who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters.
Okay. That's all the improv we have for tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you. So you see, that's how a train wreck works.
All right.
No, you did good, George. That was fun. And
now
for just coming up with that 30 seconds ago. So anyway,
Wherever
it's listening, and it's just opening your mouth and hoping something good comes out.
Good. Very good. Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to try and wrap up this train wreck right after this, so don't go away.